This is April 27th, and this is Laura Smale. I'm going to be interviewing Chip Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. And it will be interesting to see how I have to encounter him, since he's the first student we've interviewed, and why I should choose him out of 35,000. The number is on this. Our office is in the old red gym, and Chip evidently works. He can tell us about that later. As a
supervisor.
Supervisor,
right.
For the
intramural,
basketball.
Intramural department.
Mm. Right. So his desk is right inside the door, and I like to fill up our water jar in the drinking fountain in the basketball court. So he's been kind about letting me in. My son is choosing a college, and I decided I'd ask him, since he was sitting there and looked like a bright, intelligent person, what he thought about the university and how he liked it, whether he'd recommend it. And he turned out to be a junior in political science. And from Wisconsin, I decided he'd be a good person to interview. So he's come in. Let's just make sure that... Well, just tell me first why you have the name Chip. What's your real name?
My real name is Charles E. Purdy, mm-hmm. and it's also my father's name. Mm-hmm. And to avoid confusion in the family, I picked up the name,
yes.
The nickname Chip very mm-hmm. early in my life. In fact, I can never remember being called Chuck or Charles, except on the first day of classes when my teachers don't know that I prefer to be called Chip. But my name is Chip. I'm known as Chip everywhere.
And it's P-U-R-D-Y.
P-U-R-D-Y. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, where are you from?
I'm from, early in my life, I moved around a great deal. Because my father was working with different firms and he transferred quite a few times. I lived in Boston and over Massachusetts, right near Boston, for 3 or 4 years early in my life. And then when I was in second grade, we moved to Palatine, which is a suburb of Chicago. And when I was in third grade, we moved to Edina, Minnesota, where I attended school for 6 years. And upon completion of the eighth grade, our family purchased a farm in Luck, Wisconsin, which is a small, very small, in fact, it has a population of 648. It's a small farming community in northwestern Wisconsin, about 65 miles northeast of Minneapolis. And we don't live right in Luck. We live about 12 miles from the town on a farm. And my father continues to work in Minneapolis as a stockbroker. And myself, along with my two brothers, David and Eric, who are both younger than I am, we manage the farm. Now my brothers are running the farm as I am in school. I am a junior. I've been here for 3 years. So.
Is it a dairy farm?
No, it isn't. It's a beef farm. We raise Whiteface and Angus. And it's a lot of fun. I've lived in the city and in the farm, and I know that I want to spend the rest of my life in the country from my experiences so far.
And this was the first time you lived on a farm,
right? Right. And we love it. It's fantastic. And
how big is it?
The farm, we have about 250 acres tillable and about 200 acres of wooded property. And it's great. It's fantastic. When I was a senior, I decided to come to the University of Wisconsin at Madison. I had applied to other schools in the East, Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, and also Amherst College in Amherst, Massachusetts. Before I really had even heard from them as to whether they were going to accept me or not, I decided to come to Madison after visiting Madison. I came down and I more or less fell in love with the school. I had been to Amherst, and it's a very small town. And this might sound strange. I just said that I think living in a small town is great. You know, I love Luck, but I think for one who is in college and going to school, I think it's advantageous to live in a little bit bigger city, not a Chicago or a New York City, but a Madison. A city like Madison would be better than a small town like Amherst. So I.
That was your first trip here to Madison.
Right,
right. When you were senior.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I came down for the SOAR program the summer before my freshman year, and I.
What is that?
SOAR. They train. They initiate new freshmen, and somewhat familiarize them with the campus, etc.
Listen, oh, I've forgotten one thing. What is the date of your birth?
May 27th, 1956. Okay. I'm 20 years old right now.
Okay, so that I didn't know about the SOAR program, or at least I didn't know by that
well,
name.
Yeah, that's it's a student's it's an acronym for something, yeah. I don't know what. But
did many come to it?
No, for my high school, I was the only one. In fact, the majority of the, well, 30% of the students in my graduating class in high school went on to college. Uh-huh. And of those 30, of that 30%, I am the only one who's attended Madison.
Right?
And the other people, they all went to in-state schools, for example, River Falls, Eau Claire, Superior.
Do you know why?
I really don't know why. I think Madison, some people look at Madison, the Madison campus, as being just too big and overpowering, and they have a terrible misconception, and it's something that I hear all the time, and it bothers me. I always hear people say, well, if you're going to go to the University of Wisconsin at Madison, you're going to be a number.
Huh.
And you aren't going to be able to, there's going to be no personal relationships with the professors or anything else, and that I found that to be absolutely false. I've never had any trouble at all speaking with any of my professors or teaching assistants whenever I want to. They're just so accommodating, and you are not a number in a book, and I think that's what many of the people in my high school thought. And I think also, you have to remember, I come from a rural community, and this, you know, where children are needed on the farm mm-hmm. to do certain chores. And River Falls, Eau Claire, Superior, those schools are all within 100 miles from my hometown, so the students can get back in a hurry. And I think that's definitely a factor.
Is politics or the feeling about the campus from the 60s, is that at all a factor, do you think? I mean, do people still
think
this as a...
Several people. After I had decided to come to the University of Wisconsin at Madison, they said, oh, gee, you know, you're going to go down there and actually go to school with all the homosexuals and all the radicals. And this is before I had come down here. This was the summer before, and I'm just sitting there, oh, wow, you know, I wonder what it's going to be like. I really do, because many people had come up to me and said this. I mean, my parents, friends, you know, friends of mine that were in my high school that were going to other colleges that had heard about Madison. And so when I came down here, I didn't really know what to expect. But I've been going to school here for 3 years, and yes, this campus is extremely liberal. Not as liberal as it was in the 60s, by a long shot. But it's more liberal than many of the other campuses that I have been on or seen or talked to people from. But I think that that's good. I think that an individual should be exposed to many different things. I think everybody should sit down and if William Kunstler is going to come to campus as he did last fall, I went and saw him. I'm not a pro Kunstler man, but I think that opportunity should be open, and I think that that can be benevolent to your education, and I think that's part of going to college to see the gay liberation movement around. I have nothing against homosexuals at all. I'm not a homosexual, but I think having a movement like that on campus is good, because I think you realize that it's there. And people don't understand certain things about college. Many people think that you go to college to study the Renaissance and to study calculus and to study civil engineering and whatnot. And I personally believe that the most important course you take in college, as I mentioned to you once before, is college itself. It's a four-year class. And that course entails living away from home, being able to meet new people, being exposed to things like radicalism, being exposed to many different things. And I think that that's very important. And therefore, I think that what many people see as a disadvantage about attending the University of Wisconsin, whereas, you know, all these weird things. I look at that as an advantage.
Yeah.
I think that that is beneficial. I really do. And I have no gripes about this school. I love this school. I wouldn't be anywhere else. And I think it's kind of too bad, because a lot of the people in the state of Wisconsin, it's not tough for them, for the residents, to get into this school. And it should be tough, because it's a good school, and as a result, people just kind of take it for granted. And I don't think they should. I mean, I'm getting one heck of an education here, and I'm more than satisfied.
Do you must talk to your friends when you go back home, and they must ask you.
Well, they do. It's you've got to remember, many people that come from farming communities are not cosmopolitan. I don't know if I should use the word. In other words, they don't travel around a lot. They're more or less, they're extremely colloquialized. They don't, you know, I come from Luck, Wisconsin, which is in Polk County, and I think many of the people that I went to high school with have never been out of Polk County. So when I go back, they kind of look at me like, gee, you know, he's coming back from somewhere, we don't know where. And they ask me about it, and I tell them about it, and they really don't understand it, because I think going to school at an institution like this, you really can't understand it unless you take part in it.
So even your talking to them doesn't...
No, not at all. Not really. It really doesn't. And I come from a very, very conservative area. I mean, when I can say conservative, I don't mean everybody's a Republican, but I mean, even though many of them are Democrats, they're still extremely conservative. There are very few people with a liberal bias. Mm-hmm. Myself, I'm not communist or radical, but I have several ideas that don't comport with their ideas, and I think we differ in that respect, but they have a hard time understanding really what it's all about.
Yeah. Your parents presumably are not of this group, and they probably do.
Well, my father is he's a stockbroker. He's not as liberal as I am, that's for sure. But he understands the value of a liberal arts education, and he has told me many times. He has said that, you know, when he was going to college, if he would have inherited $1 million when he was a sophomore in college, the last thing he would have done would have been to have quit school. And he firmly believes in the idea, as I do, that you don't go to college to learn a trade, to learn how to go out into the real world and make money. You go to a school like this not to learn accounting, not necessarily to learn how to build a bridge. I believe you go to school here to obtain a liberal arts education. And you, why do you want to obtain a liberal arts education? You want to because it makes you a more well-rounded human being, and it enables you to cope with life, and get along with the real world. It really does. It teaches you what life is about. I really do. I think studying history, and which I'm a double major in political science and history, and I just love it. I plan on going to law school, and I've my education here, I've got absolutely no gripes about it whatsoever. And
I'm glad you made that statement. I think that's good to have. How about starting back at the beginning when you went to this to the program, the SOAR program?
Right.
Were there many freshmen there? Or?
It was all freshmen. It was okay.
But not all the freshmen.
Right. It was what SOAR is, it's a program during the summertime that the university puts on, and students come down, incoming freshmen, come down to the campus, or come up from the campus, if you're from the South, I guess, and they take certain placement exams, and they're also, they are led around campus and shown particular buildings and things like that. And that's really all that is.
Was it for a week?
No, it was... We drove down on a Wednesday, and I think we drove home on a Friday.
Oh, I see. Just a couple of days.
Just a couple of days. Stay in the dorms, and it's kind of nice because it's. I think it's a fantastic program, because one of the things that's good about it is when people come to school, you have to be able to to meet people, especially in my position, because when I came down here, I did not know a soul. You know, many of the people that go to school here are from Milwaukee, and as a result, they know, you know, many people already. But SOAR is good because if you don't know people, as I didn't, it teaches you how to. It's kind of like a warning as to what's going to happen, because I stayed in the dorm with we had a whole floor full of people and nobody knew anybody. And for 2 days we just got along great. You know, you met everybody and you partied for a while, took tests together, and then when I came back after I had gone home from SOAR, and then when I came back it was either the end of August or early September, right away I knew a couple of people on campus from the SOAR program, and it kind of gets the ball rolling, and it's a good program.
I'd
really
be
is.
Interested to know how many of the freshmen came to it, what percentage?
I really don't know. I would say, I really don't know. I don't know. I would
about
say...
100 there or more than that?
Oh, there were more than that. There was a couple of hundred. And this, you know, and it runs all summer long. You had a couple hundred.
I see.
No,
I see.
It's just like a continuous program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good program. I think the only reason somebody wouldn't come would be if they lived in, if they were from California or New York or something like that. It really wouldn't be worth it to come all that way for something like that.
So Ed, maybe you could sit this way. I don't know whether it'll come through the mic.
Okay.
Well, so you came here. Why don't you tell me about your first day in the dormitory?
Well, as I said earlier, I knew really nobody, and I was the first dorm that I lived in was Tripp Hall, and I lived there for 2 years.
So did you drive down here?
Yeah, my folks brought me down, and I moved in my things, and they left, and you're just kind of there, you know, in the midst of it all. And I met my roommate. His name is Steve Mosher, who turned out to be just a fantastic guy. We hit it off real well. Our room was very, very small, too. It was really a cubicle. It was, Tripp Hall is, all the rooms in Tripp Hall are small.
That's one of the lakeside dorms.
Right, one of the lakeshore dorms. But we got along great, and things couldn't have worked out better. And it was nice because we came down on a Sunday, and classes didn't begin until a week from the following Monday because of registration week. And many people criticized the registration policies on this campus because they're so cumbersome, and it takes a week, and you have to run around to the different assignment committees and hoping that you will get your courses when you want them. And granted, it is a difficult system, and it takes some time, and it can be extremely frustrating. But it's good because that week, you've got a week there when you don't have to attend classes. And it gives you a chance to become familiar with the campus. It gives you a chance to really meet the people that you're living with, the people that are on your floor. And from that standpoint, I think having a whole week to register is good.
Freshmen register the first day, don't they?
No, the seniors register on Monday, and then juniors Tuesday, and then sophomores Wednesday, and the freshmen that have attended the SOAR program register on Thursday. Those that have not register on Friday. And I was lucky. I registered without any problem. I got everything out of the way within an hour's time.
Did you know in advance what courses you wanted to take?
Yes, I did. When you're a freshman, you don't have a great deal of choice. You have to worry about your foreign language requirements, you have to worry about your English requirements, your math, etc. And so I did not have a lot of leeway as far as electives are concerned. But I got the courses that I needed.
What did you take?
I took a history course, History 119, which was European history from 1500, from the Renaissance to the French Revolution, and then the professor. Professor for that course was a Professor Fishman, who was very good, and that was a real enjoyable course. I liked it. And then I also had a Spanish 101, first semester Spanish, which was a good class, and I also took a math course and an English course, and I was very satisfied.
Just four.
My first year, right? Four courses. It was 15 credits, and then my second semester I took. I had 17 credits. I had another history course, History 120, which is European history from the French Revolution to the present, with a Professor Mossy, who is just fantastic. He's one of the most renowned professors, the teacher, and he's just great, I mean, really great. And then I had second semester Spanish, I had another math course, and I had a political science 101, which was my intro to political science, and which was a good class.
Who was that?
That was taught by Professor Wilde, who was, he was a good professor. He was new, and he had not been teaching for a long time. So he was not the caliber of a professor that I've had in the past in other political science courses.
Mossy's course, and probably Fishman's also, you had TAs.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
And they led one section.
Yeah, the TAs taught the discussion sections. In fact, the TA I had for Fishman's class, first semester freshman year, still a good friend of mine. That was 2 years ago. I see him on the street all the time. Had dinner with him a couple of times.
Did you go and talk to him with them when you were...
Yeah, a couple of times I did. I was talkative in the discussion section itself, and I got to know him basically through the discussion section. I didn't go see him during his office hours a lot. I did a couple of times. But we have become good friends, and I see him frequently.
Did you feel that you were ahead of the other students
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, my high school, as I mentioned earlier, only 30% of my graduating class went on to college. From that, you can see that my high school is not a college preparatory school. The majority of the people that graduate and go on to work on their father's farms, take them over, or work at one of the local town stores, etc. So I was not as well prepared as many of the other students that I was competing with. But my freshman and sophomore year and my junior year right now, I have studied hard, and I am studying hard, and I think that I'm right at the par level with anybody else now.
So you made up that handicap for you?
Yeah, it wasn't
did
really...
Did you feel it as a handicap?
No, I didn't. I just looked at it as... I'm a little bit behind, you know, my writing ability. My writing and reading skills were not as developed as some of the other students. And but with time they have been developed. And
but you weren't afraid to talk.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I love to talk. I love to express my ideas. Mm-hmm. And so there was no problem there at all.
Do you think of anything else you want to say about classes?
I've been very, very pleased with every... Well, I can honestly say that I've not been... Well, maybe disappointed with a couple of courses, but the majority of the courses that I've had on this campus have been interesting. The professors have been informative. And I've learned a lot. Another thing a lot of people say about the professors that go to school here... Not the professors that go to school, but rather the professors that teach. It's often said that their lectures really aren't that informative. Rather, the professors go into a rhetorical spasm on communism or socialism or something like that. And that's not true at all.
Are your fellow students saying this?
Oh, well, some of the fellow students, but I mean just some people that are older than I am. Say that the 30 to 35 year olds that are just, you know, that still think the University of Wisconsin is a town full of radicals. And I really get a kick out of it when they say that, because it's such a falsification that it's unbelievable. This school, the faculty at this school is, top notch. There's no question about it. Absolutely no question about it.
Did you choose courses because of faculty?
Before I enroll in a history or a political science course, I will always go and talk to the professor beforehand. I think it's important to do that when you're taking a course in humanities or political science or English, because the professor can make the course so enlightening. Whereas a math course, math is pretty much straightforward. And no matter who the professor is, you're going to be going over the same concepts, the same basic theorems. But in a political science course, I have found that it can be very difficult to study the material unless you're interested in that material. And if you've got an interesting professor that makes you want to learn, there's nothing that can stop you. And that's what these professors do. They're very motivating. As an example, Professor Adamany, who's a member of the political science department here, he's going to be leaving next year. I've got him now for a class in constitutional law, and I also had him last semester. He is probably the best professor that I have had, by a long shot. And he's the type of fellow that can motivate you, and you really want to work for him. And constitutional law can be a pretty boring subject once in a while, but it never seems to get boring with him. And
I know he's very concerned about undergraduate education.
He is.
It's awesome.
Definitely.
Did you ever go and talk to George Mossy?
A couple of times. Professor Mossy is a very, very busy man. Extremely busy. But still, if I would have wanted to speak with him, there wouldn't have been any problem at all. I went and talked to him a couple of times, but no, I didn't. I didn't talk with him a lot.
When did you decide what you were going to major in?
I think my sophomore year, I decided that I wanted to major in history. Number one, it's fascinating. I love it. When I say history, I'm talking about European and American. Mm-hmm. European since, let's say, the French Revolution. That time period is fascinating and interesting, and I think there's so much to be learned from that time period that I decided to major in history. And I love it too. People have told me that the only disadvantage with majoring in history is that when you graduate, you've got three choices. You can either teach high school or teach history, whether it be high school or something else, get in the unemployment line, or else go on to graduate school. And to me, that doesn't scare me.
Well, you said you weren't here.
I mean,
for
that's right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think there are too many people here that are.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, there are too many people here that are too wound up with the idea of making dollars when they get out of school. I think taking an accounting course or a couple of econ courses or a marketing or a corporate finance course, sure, that's fine. But I really think that people make a mistake when they come to school and they major in business, and all they ever do is study, income statements, balance sheets, and things like that. Because I think that those students that are in the business school, they're taught to accept. They aren't taught to question. Whereas a political science major is taught to question the system, to look at that system, examine it, examine any alternatives, and then make your own decision as to whether it's right or wrong. Whereas in business, they teach you to accept our system, and they teach you how to deal with it. And I'm taking an accounting course right now because I think it's a good idea to be able to understand what an income statement is. But I don't think it's a good idea to take five or six accounting courses or something like that. Major in history or political science for your undergraduate degree. But then you can always go on and pick up an MBA without any problem at all. And I really do. I think many students make a mistake by majoring in business. Right? They probably think I make a mistake by majoring in history because I won't be able to get a job.
What about the sciences? Have you taken any courses?
I really haven't. I took an astronomy course, which was interesting. I have to get 8 more credits of science out of the way, and I'll do that next year. I have taken math courses, calculus, et cetera, which I enjoyed.
Why did you put off the science requirement for so long?
I really don't know. I just, whenever I pick up the timetable and I start picking out my courses, this history course or this English course looks so interesting, and there's always the danger that it might not be offered the next year, that I always take it.
Do you resent having to spend time on the sciences?
No, I think it's a good idea. I think everybody should know something about some type of science, simply because it's a different type of thinking. When you're in political science, they teach you how to think in a particular manner. If you're taking a science course or a math course, they teach you how to think in a different type of manner, an analytical manner that is quite different from a scholar in political science. And so I think it is a good idea to take some science courses. I disagree, and I don't believe in the propriety of a language requirement. Hmm. I was forced to take 4 semesters of Spanish.
You haven't had any language in high school?
I had some French, but I had it when I was a freshman, during my freshman and sophomore years. And I just, I wish I would have gotten it out of the way in high school, but I didn't.
Yeah.
At any rate, I had to take 4 semesters up here. I took 4 semesters of Spanish, and that's 16 credits. And that's really a whole semester. And I really think that that's kind of a waste. I mean, granted, I am able to communicate with somebody from Spain or Mexico or what have you. And it is, in some respects, it's good to be able to communicate on somebody else's level. But nonetheless, I think it would have been much more beneficial to my education if I would have taken more courses related to history and or political science or English.
Have you ever talked to anybody or made your views known on this?
No, I haven't. I got my language requirement. I fulfilled my language requirement when I was during my freshman and sophomore years, and I more or less just accepted the fact that it had to be taken care of.
Do your friends agree with you? Do you think
yes,
still widely
absolutely,
known?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just I don't think it's worth it.
Science
I really don't.
Is good, but
science is good.
Yeah.
Yes, because language is just not. And many people don't do that well in their language courses because they know that it's probably very impractical. They are never going to be able to apply it. And second of all, it's not the most interesting thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, language courses can be very detrimental to your grade point average.
I see. Yeah. What about freshman English, which I know was not required, but how did you feel about that?
Okay, here's the way I feel about that. I think there are many students on this campus who are unable to read an article, analyze that article, and then put their own idea or argument on a piece of paper. I think many people don't have the ability to write, and I think that that's terrible. I really think that's very, I think that's bad. And I've spoken with professors who have said the same thing. And like, my writing ability is not where it should be.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody's writing can be improved, but I mean, I think it should be mandatory. I think every student should take a basic course in grammar, sentence structure, syntax, etc. It's a necessity to life, you know, really.
Have you thought of taking one?
Well, I did my freshman year.
Oh,
I
you
took,
did?
Yeah, I took freshman English, and I started out in it.
In other words, you can take it if you want to. I guess I missed
right.
that.
Okay, well, my freshman year, I started out in English 101, and I wrote a couple of papers, and my TA said, well, listen, you don't have to be in here. We can move you up into 207, which is a literature course, where many freshmen start out. And I talked with some people, and I talked with my TA especially, and I came to the conclusion that this course is not going to hurt me. This course is really going to help me. It's going to help me more than that literature course will right now, because, I mean, it's imperative to understand certain grammatical rules and procedures, and too many people on this campus just don't know how to write. And I think that that's bad, because that's what you're really here to learn. You're here to learn how to read and write in an analytical sense.
I agree with you.
But
how about your friends? You made friends at the dorm. Are they an important part of your life, or how does your daily life go? I suppose I could ask it that way.
How does my daily life go?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I lived in the dorms for 2 years, Trip Hall on the Lakeshore. Met a lot of people. You meet a lot of people in the dorms. Even if you aren't an outgoing person, you're still going to meet a lot of people. And
you eat all your meals at the dorm, or breakfast and supper?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the Commons, which is good. And food is all right.
You mean at the dormitory?
At the dormitory.
Okay.
I mean, I don't eat at the Commons now.
Yeah.
I live in an apartment up the street here.
What about sports? Or am I going too fast?
To go back to the first question as to how my daily life is right now. As I said, I developed a great circle of friends my first 2 years in the dorms. My third year, my junior year right now, I'm living in an apartment, which I'm glad. I enjoy my privacy. I enjoy being able to get away from, I hate to use the word rat race, but that's really what it is. But I've still kept my ties with my friends in the dorms, and I see them all the time. Those are really who my friends are right now. But I am glad I moved out of the dorms, because 2 years is enough. As far as athletics go, the intramural department has got a fantastic program. Whether you live in a fraternity, a dormitory, or if you want to form your own independent team, you can play football, softball, basketball, anything. And I was active athletically when I lived in the dorms. We had a football team, a soccer team, etc. And that is a good program.
What do you do now for
Well, I work here at the Armory. I'm a supervisor, but that's really not that physically exuberating, so that's for sure. But I work out on weights a couple of times a week, and I should exercise more. I really should,
but you don't. Care much.
I really don't.
Uh-huh.
But I'm healthy,
yeah.
You know. So.
If you think of things to say, just
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, what about girls?
What about girls?
Any girls in the dorms?
Well, when I lived in Tripp, it was not co-ed for the most part. Tripp is a dormitory that consists of 8 houses. And when I was there, 6 of those houses were all males, filled with males, and 2 of the houses were co-ed. So there were maybe, 30 girls living in a dormitory with a couple hundred guys, and so you don't meet a lot of girls. If you lived in a co-ed dormitory, you would, but you meet a lot of girls just sitting over the, eating dinner at the Commons, or just, there are a lot of activities in the dorms that go on, dances, etc. And when you're a freshman and a sophomore, they're fun things to attend. You meet people there.
So you do get
when I say I developed a circle of friends, I didn't mean that I just you know, acquired friendships with boys, or, you know, men or whatever. I mean, just
but you know boys the girls and easily. In other words, that's really an important part of a poet's
work. Oh, yeah, right.
But I just wondered if it worked.
Oh, yeah, I think it does. I'm really not that familiar with it because I've never lived really in a co-ed dorm. So I really can't voice an opinion on that subject. But it seems to be working out fine, and the people that I have talked to say it works out great. You know, there are no complaints whatsoever. Just so long as there are separate bathrooms.
I'm sure the girls would prefer that.
But
were you ever depressed here? You know, there's said to be a period of freshman depression. It doesn't sound as if you would have had it, but
I don't know. You know, in my throughout the early part of my life, as I said earlier, I moved around a lot. And when you move around a lot, you have to learn how to meet people and get along with people. You learn how to talk to people. And so when I came down here to go to school, and I was thrown into this big crowd of 40,000 people, of which I knew maybe 8 from SOAR, you know, I think that I adjusted very well. I met people in a hurry, and I developed a circle of friends in a hurry. Whereas many other people, like let's say an individual from Milwaukee who had never moved, who had lived in Milwaukee for 18 years, all of a sudden comes to the University of Wisconsin and Madison. I can see where there would be there might be some depression. I can see where a state of depression would develop in that person's life because they're being thrown into an environment that is totally unlike anything they have experienced, and the whole situation is totally unlike anything they have experienced. They have never lived, they have never moved from one community to another. Mm-hmm. And when you go to college, that's really what you're doing. You're leaving your environment and community at home, and you're going to pursue a life in a community that you have never been in before. And I can see where with some people that would be a problem.
Did you know people for whom it was a problem? Dorm, for instance.
Did I know people that were depressed? Yes, I knew a couple of people that were very, very depressed. And these people were not people that were getting, you know, 2.0 grade point averages. Right. These were, to tell you the truth, they were the majority of the people that I saw, in fact, all of the people that I saw who were depressed, physically and psychologically, had grade points, 3.8, 3.9, 4.0, that type of thing. And I just think that their problem arose out of they weren't able to meet new friends and get along with people. As a result,
you really have to make an effort.
You really do. You really do. They were unable to do that. As a result, they spent all their time at the library, in which they got good grades. Mm-hmm. But although getting a good grade point average is the prime directive, really, mm-hmm. there are also many other things that have to be considered. And one of those is meeting people. And I think that some people are unable to do that. And those people that are unable to do that become depressed.
Are these even people in dorms who have roommates and who eat with people? Every
oh, yeah, morning? Definitely. Yes.
They have a hard time.
Yes, definitely.
So it isn't just enough to be in a dorm to make friends. You have to be.
You have to be outgoing. You can't be completely introverted. You do. You have to be an extrovert. You really do. And if you are, you'll meet more people than, well, you know, it's great. Yeah.
Do you belong to any clubs or any? Do you do anything? Any of the extracurricular things you could do?
Well, I spend a lot of my time studying because I'm worried about my grade point, and I work here at the Armory, and I also serve food at a sorority house up the road, which is. You know, it's an all right job. I get my meals there, but as far as being a member of a club, I'm not really.
Well, did you work from the first year?
No, my first year up here I didn't. I spent most of my time studying, and I was treasurer for my dormitory, and that took a fair amount of my time, I wasn't short on funds. My sophomore year, I lived in the dorms, and I was social chairman, and I studied a lot, but I did have time for a job, and I worked for the intramural office refereeing intramural football, four nights a week. Which was good. It's nice to have some money coming in. It really is.
Would your father have afforded to give you money so that you wouldn't have to work, but you felt it was better to do some work, or is this really necessary for the?
My job is really not necessary for my education, but it's necessary for my lifestyle because there are certain things that I like to do that cost money. That's why I work.
Yeah.
I like being able to go out and buy an album once in a while. I enjoy it. I eat out once in a while. And working for the intramural office, I make about $100 a month.
Wow.
And I use that for spending.
Was it hard to find jobs?
No, jobs are easy to come by. I didn't have it. They're always, every father, they've got posters all up all over the place. They're looking for people to work for them.
Gee. I would have thought it would be difficult.
Not at all. You could probably go down there today and fill out an application and you could start repping softball this afternoon.
Hmm.
So, they're always looking for help.
You made an interesting comment about jobs the other day, that they should reinforce your work if possible. I don't even remember. I mean, for instance, this job in the gym, all you do is sit there.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. People make it's what type of job you have. And working at the armory, I really spend most of my time studying. And working at the sorority, I spend most of my time eating. And I'd have to spend that time eating no matter what I was doing. So my jobs are not detrimental to my grade point average at all.
How much do you earn altogether?
How many hours a week?
How much do you earn, say,
a
week?
Oh, $25, $30 a week. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's plenty. So.
Do you go to concerts or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. Not frequently, but occasionally. Concerts are pretty expensive.
Well, what about the free ones over at the humanities building?
Oh, no. No, I don't know. When you say concerts, I was...
You're thinking of the union.
Right, something like that. No, I haven't. No, I don't go to any of the concerts at the humanities. In the humanities building, or I haven't.
That's interesting. You could hear a pianist for nothing there.
Really? I didn't know that.
They're always giving recitals, student recitals, faculty recitals. And they don't cost anything, and you pay
$5
to go to the union to hear a famous person, but you can hear a pretty good performance for them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What about? Do you make much use of the union?
I spend a lot of time at the union, especially up in the classical room.
Hmm.
I spend time reading, and during the summertime I spend a lot of time sailing. I'm not in the Hoofers Club, but one of my friends is, and we always sail together. So we spend all the time, 4 days a week we sail.
But why aren't you in
the Hoofers? I consider joining, but I like sailing on the big boats, and in order to get a rating to be able to sail on the big boats, it would take a lot of time. The Hoofers Club is really kind of a bureaucratic mess, from what I've heard. I'm not that familiar with it, but that's what I've heard. And I can sail.
It would take
you an awfully long time to be able to sail one of the big boats. You know, you have to be able to sail a small one, then the next biggest one, then the next, and on and on. And it just takes a lot of time, and I can sail it, you know. I really haven't got the time for that.
Yeah. So you're really, in the Hoofers, you're really learning how to sail.
Right, right.
That you should be very
skilled
at it.
Right. Yep.
Have you gone to summer school, or you've been home working?
No, last summer, I spent last summer in Madison, but I did not go to school. I worked at a cheese factory.
Well, that's why you mentioned cheese factories. It's a place not to work.
But
where was the cheese factory?
On Park Street. Associated Milk Producers Incorporated is the formal.
Full-time job?
Full-time, right. 48 hours a week. The pay was good.
What was the pay?
$4.60 an hour. Union work.
I should have thought you'd have had to be up in the firm, your firm.
Oh, my brothers can handle it. My brothers are able to handle it. Uh-huh. They've got no problem at all. And I like living in the country, but I like Madison a lot too. So I decided to live here.
What are you going to do this summer?
I really don't know right now. I plan on staying in Madison. If I get the type of job I'm looking for, I will work. Otherwise, I will go to school. Mm-hmm. So I'll just have to play it by ear and see what happens. But
do you read the Cardinal?
Yes, I do. Not all the time, but whenever I get a chance to read it. I think it's a good idea to have a newspaper like the Cardinal on campus because I think exposure is good. I think people should be exposed to different ideas, and the Cardinal has got some of their reporters are interesting people. They have some pretty interesting ideas, and I think it's a good idea to have that newspaper on campus. I don't read it all the time.
Yeah. It'd be a time consuming thing to do.
Right.
It's got a lot of stuff there. I've wondered how much an undergraduate is aware of some of the issues in the university. For instance, when Crona was made, do you think about that sort of thing? Who becomes her, or the fact that Young has just been made president?
Many people are, in fact, I can't believe it, really. People are so darn apathetic on this campus now, today. It's just unreal. People seem to be wrapped up in their own little microcosm. And they really aren't affected that much by the outside world. Yet yesterday we had our WSA election, and when I went to vote, very look at the fellow at the polling box said, "Oh, very few people have come in and voted," and I think that's too bad.
Goodness, I'm glad you brought that up. We should certainly talk about that. How do you view the WSA and the elections?
Well, I think that I think the WSA is an important body. They make a lot of decisions. For instance, WSA is the organization that provides EPC notes, lecture notes. WSA, they have their ideas on making contributions to David Fine, for instance. And the students don't understand that. I think $2 or $3 out of their tuition goes to WSA, and that's where they get their funds. All students contribute to WSA, whether they like it or not, and yet people still don't vote. They don't really care about it, and I think that's too bad. And many people are critical of WSA and its policies. They say, well, it's, you know, left-wing radicals run the organization, and I just don't want to have any part of it. And I say, well, if you don't like the way it's being run, get out and vote for somebody else, or else run yourself, you know? Mm. And but people are very apathetic towards that kind of thing. No, they don't. They don't. I think it's because they feel, well, it's not going to affect me. But they don't understand that in the end that they're the only people that are being affected.
Mm. You know, what other ways do you think it affects undergraduates, WSA?
Well, in one way, WSA is the people on in the organization are looked upon by other people that aren't in the university as the spokesman for the students. In other words, an individual from Milwaukee, let's say a businessman, he reads what the Wisconsin Student Association is doing. And he'll think in the back of his mind, as he rightly should, that, oh gosh, that's what all the students on the University of Wisconsin campus think, or that's what they want to propose, or that's what they believe in. And so it affects them in an indirect manner. And that when I graduate from the University of Wisconsin, if I were to go to Milwaukee and apply for a job, and this fella, it said, oh, you represent this, this, and this, and then what can I say? Can I say, well, no, the WSA doesn't represent campus, even though it is an elected body, a body elected by the students. I mean, students have to get out and vote if WSA is going to represent the students properly. And people aren't voting, and therefore WSA is representing the students in an improper fashion. It's not their fault, it's the students' fault, due to their apathy.
It seems to me it would be rather hard to understand what the different groups running stand for.
Yeah, well, I looked at the ballot yesterday, and there was one candidate from the Young Socialist Alliance, another candidate from the New Morning Party, another candidate from the Surge Party, and it is difficult to know what the candidates are standing for, but it wouldn't be tough to try and find out what they are. I mean, there are always people standing on Bascom Hill passing out literature.
So it is easy to find out. So you
If you're going to vote, I mean, I don't think you should vote unless you know what you're voting for. That defeats the system.
Would you say who you voted for? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
I don't know, my political views are, I like to.
All right, yes, fair enough. I gather there's been some charge of election fraud, or not fraud, but mispractice. I just noticed in the Cardinal today.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that.
Well, it has to do with wording of posters.
Oh, really?
Like something about, they should have said undergraduate artists, but they said underground artists, which has a very
very different meaning.
And I guess that's arousing.
Some controversy.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised to hear you think that people think that WSA does represent the students.
Well,
I wouldn't have thought of
it. No, it doesn't represent the students in reality, but in
that. I don't think people think so either.
No, but.
I think they may.
I think many people would have to think that WSA represents the students. I mean, if I was from a different part of the country, I mean, if I was not attending school here, and an organization democratically elected by the students was submitting proposals. I would have to say that these proposals represent the views of the students.
Right.
It's just like, I mean, sure, when President Nixon won the election in 1972, only 27% of the populace elected him. And in reality, he does not represent a majority, he didn't represent a majority of the American public, but you would have to perceive him as representative of representing the American public, because there was an election and he was elected. And so from that standpoint, I would say that the WSA represents the students.
Do you think of running yourself for office or getting involved in WSA?
I haven't. I've always voted, so I don't consider myself apathetic, but I have not considered candidacy, no.
Why not?
I've just been preoccupied with my books, and that's really the real reason.
What about the TAA? Is that, have their problems interested you? That there was a work stoppage in 1976.
Right.
Sophomore, yes.
Right, I remember that very well. And there was also a work stoppage, I believe, in 1970, wasn't there?
Well, there was a strike in 1970.
Right, that was when the strike, right.
The TAA is an interesting organization. People, whether they be students, professors, or TAs that are not members of the TAA, or whether they be administrators, or parents of students, or whatever, they don't really understand the Teaching Assistants Association, I think, because these TAs are graduate students who know their stuff. They really do. I mean, they're going to be, they'll be professors themselves in a couple of years. And they are important people, and they are a necessity to this university. This institution could not function without teaching assistants. Therefore, I think the administration must pay some deference, in fact, a great deal of deference to the TAA. And I understand the gripes of the TAA. I mean, I have been in a discussion section with 30 people and had a TA attempt to teach us Spanish, and it just doesn't work.
30 people? That's supposed to be illegal now.
Well, now it is, but I mean, I have had, what I'm trying to say is a large discussion section is not that beneficial to your education. No. You don't learn that much. It's just, it's as simple as that. In a discussion section, you're supposed to discuss. How much am I going to be able to discuss when I've got 28 other people who want to talk? So I think the discussion sections are too big. I think they're still too big. And I think that they could even be made smaller.
Have you had, I'm really surprised that you would have had one that big.
Well, when I say 30, maybe there were 27, 20.
Well,
I mean,
but
when
it's supposed to be 19.
Yeah,
or
21, I think. Well, something like that.
Oh, yeah, 21. How about your other TA sections? TA sections? For size.
Some of them have been quite small. I've had a couple of them with only 5 or 6 students. But then again, some of them have been big. It's been about a 50-50
mm-hmm.
type deal, you know.
So you're definitely sympathetic to TA. Did you join? Did you,
I'm not.
Stoppers, did you stay out of class?
Some of my classes, yes. Not, some of them I just couldn't. I could not afford to. You know, and that's the thing, I feel bad that I couldn't, but I couldn't. I mean, there's just some courses that I could not afford to miss. And I didn't miss them. Right. Or, you know. But I think many people fail to realize the importance of the TAA. And I think that's too bad because the teaching assistants are a vital and integral part of this university.
Mm-hmm. What about merger? As an issue, I know that the WSA, the elections have brought that up as something students ought to think about. Have you paid much attention to that?
Not really. I really haven't.
And what about the out-of-state students? You know, there's a quota, I believe. On
non-residents,
students.
That's true. Well,
about that?
This institution is supported by the taxpayers that live in Wisconsin. And therefore, I think Wisconsin residents that are qualified to come here should be able to come to this school before a non-resident. And I think the legislature and the region should be concerned about educating Wisconsin residents before taking in any non-residents. And I think it's as simple as that, because the people from Wisconsin constructed, have run, and own this institution. And therefore, they should be able to take advantage of it.
You did say earlier that you thought it was made a little too easy for people to come, that they should...
That's true. When I say qualified people should be able to attend the university,
yes, you did say qualified.
I think they should be qualified. Though, I mean, I think that I think many people are here that shouldn't be here because they can't handle the workload academically. They're just not. They shouldn't be here. They don't want to be here. They're here because somebody said that it's the right thing to do, so they're here.
Yeah.
Maybe their parents, but have said that. But there are people here that shouldn't be here.
Are you aware of of people who are from out of state as being different, or
no, not really.
Background being different?
I mean, whenever I meet somebody, whenever they talk, you know, I say, well, where are you from? I very rarely know beforehand, unless they've got a New York accent or something like that. But they mix in. There's no problem with integration there.
Because one argument has been that their level of education may on the whole be higher since they've chosen to come here, whereas a lot of, as you pointed out, a lot of people from Wisconsin.
Oh, the majority of the non-residents that I have encountered are intelligent people.
Do you think they add something to?
I think it's good to have people from out of state attending school here, but I don't think that interest, which is a legitimate interest, should supersede the interest of having qualified Wisconsin residents attend this institution.
So what are you going to do when you leave the university?
Okay. I will graduate in May of 1978, which is a year from this May, mm-hmm. and then I intend to attend law school that fall.
Where?
I really don't know. Wherever I get in, I plan on applying to the University of Wisconsin, Marquette, Michigan, in Minnesota, and play it by ear from there on in.
When did you decide to go to law school?
I've always wanted to go to law school. I mean, when I started thinking about a career, I thought that would be a good idea.
So you do have a job in mind, but
that's
what you study, then your graduate school. I didn't ask you who your major professor was in political science.
Okay, I work with two professors. I work with Mr. Adamany and a professor, David Feldman.
Oh, and how do you find him to work with?
Great, fantastic, no complaints whatsoever. Very intelligent men, extremely renowned in their fields.
They must be. They're rather different, aren't they? Aren't they rather different politically to begin with?
Not really. They're both good professors, very good professors.
What, do you have a major professor in history, or are you just taking?
Well, not really. I just more or less work with the professor whose course I'm taking. Mm-hmm.